Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny.
Mention It All. A Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol. Now go to sleep, we.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. How is everyone doing? That can answer me right now.
I hope everyone is doing well. I'm personally doing, you know, okay. I'm doing
the most.
Doing fine.
Good. The most.
I don't feel like I'm doing the most.
The most. It's Tuesday.
It's not Tuesday.
It is not Tuesday. I was so confident in that.
Thank God. Oh my God. Can you imagine if it was Tuesday right now? That would be bleak.
Whew, gotta take a moment. Hold on. It is hump day.
Oh God. Is that better? I don't even know.
But we're talking about Vanderpump Rules.
Vanderpump Rules. We should mention.
Yeah.
Ramona's little angel.
Coco
passed on, 17 years old.
To the Rainbow Bridge. I know it was really sad. Like it's can't even talk about it anymore or else.
It's really sad. I do have to say the one, silver lining of humor was that Sonia accidentally broke the news on her Instagram story and posted this, you know, like story slide that was like orange text. It was like RIP Coco, like all this stuff. And nobody else, Ramona or Avery or anyone didn't post until like a day later. And Sonia had deleted her story at one point. So it was kind of like, okay, like
no one. Yeah.
Was Sonia like, was she like, she, it turned out it was accurate, but it was just like, Sonia, what's going on?
Yeah. Like that's weird. That's a weird, you never post someone else's news, whether it be a baby or wedding or sad news or anything before the person posts it. It's just the rule of thumb.
Yeah. Speaking of that rule of thumb, I want to know what,
oh no,
it's not about a dog dying. It's about just somebody else's news. Okay. What did you think on Vanderpump Rules of Tom Sandoval telling Lisa that James was going to propose to Raquel?
Okay. So he acknowledged the fact that he was breaking some trust, but I don't know if Tom just gets overly excited and has to physically tell someone something, or if he was hoping that Lisa would kind of do like help and do something. Cause I feel like in the past, all the years we've watched, she's upgraded a room. She's sent food. She's sent alcohol. So she's done something. So I don't know where his mindset was, but yeah, if someone the way I think of things is, yeah, if you don't want someone to tell anyone your news, you say like, listen, just don't tell anyone this. But if you're talking to a really good friend, which I think James looks at Tom that way, you don't need to tell him, don't tell it. Like he should know not to tell anyone that news. Like you should just know.
Maybe this wasn't really that big of a secret. And it was kind of just like, I feel like maybe as a producer on the show, Lisa would have known this was going to happen anyway.
Right.
And so it was just kind of like, okay, let's work it into the plot that she knows versus just like, oh yeah, like we knew that that was the storyline.
But I don't think Tom was doing it to like force someone to find out. I think he literally just had to actually tell someone because we know Tom Sandoval gets very excited about celebrations. But also I wanted to ask you if you watched Watch What Happens Live last night. Okay. They play this game now, like truth or drink. And Andy asked Lala and Katie like a bunch of questions and they were actually really good. And one question that they asked that he asked them was, do you think that Brock is the one for Sheena? Like she said, and neither one of them like answer, like they couldn't. And Andy was like, okay, I guess we have our answer. Like the two of them both like couldn't physically answer the question. And I was like, really surprised at that.
It is okay. It is a little weird because so we basically are just meeting Brock for the first time. Right. Like they weren't, you know, he wasn't really in the picture on the last season of the show, but they've been together for almost 2 years. They obviously have a baby together. Now they're engaged. And so like we're being presented this relationship so far along and like Brock is like a full-time cast member on the show. So it feels like we're really far behind in terms of like getting on Sheena and Brock's relationship and knowing him at all. Because like in the past, it's always been, we've watched these people kind of start dating or like in the earlier phases of their relationship. And like the fact that by the time we're meeting Brock, he's already being presented as the one. And it's like, it would be sacrilegious to have any opinion other than that. So I think it's a little like, I don't know enough to say either way, but it is like, it does feel kind of weird, you know, when he and the Toms are like doing their cycling class and it's like the three of them like talking about whatever. It's like
he fully replaced Jax.
It's like, oh, like we're just supposed to, like Brock is just like part of the group now and that's supposed to feel normal. And it's not like I don't like him, but it doesn't quite feel normal yet.
Yeah. Like we have to initiate you into our circle of trust. You like, can't just man, like get it.
This man is still a stranger in my home.
Yeah. Like I don't know you.
But I do appreciate that he does not like the Schwartz and Sandy's name, as it seems like pretty much no one does.
No Lisa one.
Doesn't. Yeah,
Lisa made a good point because her names are very like, you know,
Villa Blanca.
Yeah, sir. Pump. It's to the pump. And Schwartz and Sandy's like, come get your bucket of beer and crab legs. Like that's what like we talked last week about. And Katie last night said her idea of Once Upon a Tom was so good. And I was like, honestly, I don't think so. I don't like that either.
I like Once Upon a Tom better than They're Schwartz too and long. Sandy's.
The names are too long. They need to be like, Someone commented on Bravo, I Betcha's Tomfoolery. And I really like that name. Like really like that name.
That's better. I will say though, it's like, why does it have to have your name?
I know. Wait, also like, I think the name is Schwartz and Sandy. Like that's the name. Like it's final.
I don't acknowledge that. But like, it feels a little bit like amateur hour to me that it's like, why does it have to have your names in it? Like just come up with a name for a bar. Like everybody that pays attention will still know it's Tom and Tom's bar.
It is like you and I opening a bar and we're like, hey, oh my God, let's call it like Barry and Dylan's. That is so strong. It's such a good name. Like, no, it needs to be like, has to have that oomph to it.
Right. Like so. We would not open a bar called Barry and Tillins. Personally, I would not sign off on
Dylan's candy bar.
Personally, I would not take out a home equity loan for a bar called Barry and Dylan's.
Yeah, what the?
It was interesting to get a little bit more context this week to know that it's not just that they are investing in this new bar, but they are basically borrowing against their homes to finance this new bar. And it's like, oh, so like I kind of assumed that they were like doing well financially and had this money in the bank and they were like, let me invest it. And it's like, oh, you're really like going out on a financial limb to do this project, which there's, I mean, I'm not like some big businessman, like there's not necessarily anything wrong with that, but it definitely feels like a different type of risk that you're taking than just like, oh yeah, we wrote a check.
Well, first of all, we know nothing about anyone's finances on the show, but their restaurant was closed for like more than half the pandemic. So they clearly didn't have that money coming in for that period of time, which is, you know, really, so I think it's like great if business is picking back up and they're doing, but even Lisa was like, hold on. And I feel like Lisa knows what she's talking about when it comes to that. But it's funny because Tom Sandoval, like you asked before, like said something to Lisa, but then that lunch with Ariana and Lisa kind of like, I don't know. I know all of them like tell them their life stories and they look to her for like motherly advice. But that lunch to me was a little bizarre too. Cause she like went to lunch with Lisa to like spill the tea on like everyone and everything.
When Ariana's like, if you had told me years ago that Lisa and I would be friends and just like getting lunch like this, I'm like, it still doesn't really make sense, but go off, like whatever. She brings the fact that she brings a bottle of Vanderpump Rosé to lunch with Lisa feels very like I'm gonna put an apple on the teacher's desk.
Lisa was like, oh, do they sell this here? She didn't even know. Like, no. Ariana's like, I brought it, sorry.
Ariana's like, I had to go to 6 different liquor stores to find this. So you better be appreciative. They don't sell this just anywhere.
But also the fact that Ariana was like, no, it's not my money. Like, it's not mine. Like, and Lisa made a really good point when she was explaining it the way like I would understand it. She was like, they're not going to take half the house. Like if they take the money, they're not like, Ariana, you stay in your room. We're just going to take Tom's half of the house. Like, that's not the way it works. But you know what? Good luck to everyone.
Yeah, I don't really know. Like the whole like mortgage, home loan, like all of that stuff is like one of the most
they got to add it to the curriculum
concepts to me. Yeah. But like, I will say, it seems like they might not 100% understand like all of the ramifications. I don't know. And then we find out that Randall was interested in being an investor and was turned down because aside from, is it Schwartz's mom or
Sandoval's stepmom or dad and stepmom, like one of
right. Okay. So it's basically just the two of them and then Sandoval's parents, and they didn't want any other partners. And it's like, okay, like I get that I understand like not wanting to bring in a lot of different, you know, like voices and people that makes things, you know, complicated. But at the same time, it's like, it doesn't sound like you guys actually have like a ton of cash lying around to make this happen. Like, it's not like it's no big deal for Schwartz and Sandy to be writing like a $500,000 check. So it makes me think a little bit. It's like, look, maybe you should have taken Randall's money.
Well, not only that, yes, but also like maybe I would have opened the second bar with Lisa as well. Like, it seems like the first one is good. Tom, I would just continue that route for until like possibly the third bar, and then business is like booming. But yeah, I don't know. And again, like, I don't know where they are now. Like, maybe Randall is an investor, or maybe they think like if Randall's like a big shot, like he is an investor, like it'll eventually become a hit. I don't know how people think about what this. We are not restaurant owners. I wish I was, though. Not really. actually.
No, that sounds very stressful to me.
Honestly, I'm like a Katie in this sense. Like, I loved being a waitress was one of my favorite jobs.
Okay.
It was. It's just so I have, you know, the personality for it. It's just really fun.
Calling all my honeys. Support for today's episode comes from Honeylove. Whether you're a bride, a wedding guest, or simply seeking everyday smoothing, Honeylove is the go-to for all things shapewear. Honeylove has revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. It's designed to work with your body, not against it. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. You won't have to worry about it rolling down, which is unheard of in shapewear, thanks to flexible boning that's hidden in the side seams. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. Shape your life with Honeylove. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace. They have a curated collection of investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry. Each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts. You can buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10.
So Lala is waiting to find out whether she's made the New York Times bestseller list. And then once they get to Palm Springs, she gets a call. She did not make the list. And she's upset about it. You know, she kind of like thought she had a chance. I have to say, I feel like the New York Times bestseller list has become like too easy to get on. It's like, I like, you know, no shade to Lala, but it's like not every book should be a New York Times bestseller.
I agree. And I like that she's acknowledging how proud she is of herself for even writing a book, because like that's a major accomplishment. But I read like Lala's book cover to cover, and I actually really enjoyed reading her story. But I don't know. I don't know really what goes into going into the list, but you know, it's sad when you don't hit another goal of yours. But you know what? There's always the next book.
I also just feel like all of these people that write books, like, you know, how many Bravo Lebs have written books just this year? Like, it's a niche. Like, you know, there's only so many people that even watch the show to care about you in the first place. And then some smaller percentage of those people are potentially going to actually buy the book. It's like, you know, it's not going to sell a million copies.
We should look up which Bravo celebrities, all I know at the top of my head is Teresa, but who have made the New York Times bestseller list.
Teresa, definitely. Probably like Bethany for sure.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, I don't know, Frederick, who I always constantly recommend his books. It's really, really, really fucking good.
Really? Is it?
Oh my, it's one of my favorite. It's one of like my favorite. It's very, very motivating and encouraging. It's called The Cell.
Oh, it's like self-help.
No, it's his story. But like because even if you watch the show, like he is just like a really intriguing person. Like, and I don't know, it's his story is like, I don't know, for some reason it's different the way he wrote it or the way it is where he got to where he is today. I don't know. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. So,
okay.
If you want to pick it up, quick, easy read.
Okay. I probably won't, but
you should.
So we're all in Palm Springs. This house looks really nice and spacious.
Large.
I wasn't crazy about this fashion show event theme thing that they did. It just went on for so long. And it
high
was like
fashion.
And it was like, none of these people really are dressing in a way that's that exciting to me.
You know already how I feel about forced fun. So like watching it, I was like, oh my God, thank God I'm not there. I'm at, like, okay, Barry, pack a costume to wear and just strut around the pool. I would like much rather not participate in that. But at the same time, Katie called out the fact that of course Sandoval is going to put on the show, host the show, judge the show and win the show, which made total sense.
Yeah, it was, they all had the numbers that they were holding up, but then Schwartz was the one, or Sandoval was the one calling out the actual scores that he just decided.
Yeah. And, he got a 10.
Of course. Yeah. It's like, I don't know. Like, I'm hoping the Coachella party is like a little more real fun, because this was very like, oh, this
Coachella looks like it's going to be so fun. And I just have to call out what James said, that when he talked about wanting to propose to Raquel and the most, and of course it's at the most romantic place in the world, and it's the rave tent at Coachella.
You know, their love is so special and so unique.
They're really cute together. Like, even last night they said if they've come this far, because another question was like, will they last? And Katie was like, if they've made it this far already, like, why not? And I was like, oh, I would hate if someone, like, I get it, your relationship's on national TV, but I don't know. I feel like it's so sad when like everyone's like, eh, we'll see.
They had like a little moment last night when James sort of filled in the group on what happened with him and Max, which, I don't know. He didn't really give them like details on. He was like, I lost it. And it's like, okay, like, so you're not going to talk about like how you called him like a fat prick, whatever. Like,
yeah.
Like he kind of like left out the actual like bad details and was just kind of like, yeah, we got into a big argument and I just lost it. So yeah, for right now, you know, I can't go to Sir. And in the confessional, I liked how Raquel was kind of like, yeah, like it reflects badly on me when you're like doing this stuff. And we've seen, you know, them kind of get into this, you know, dynamic before. And like, on the one hand, I feel like James obviously has made certain improvements and stuff. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's like, we're kind of back to the same, you know, it's not that different than what's happened in the past. I guess the biggest change is that James isn't drinking, but like,
right,
he's still not allowed at Sir because he like got in a fight with someone.
Right. And okay, so following that, Lala takes that opportunity and is like, you know what, you guys, like James reacted this way and all of you are like, that's okay, James, like you're making strides. But when I like acted out like that, you guys all were against me and like, you know, it was horrible. And then she like segues into Charlie and the whole fight kind of went left for me, like really quick, because Charlie was like, don't fuck with me. Like I'm the person not to mess with. You want to play this game? And they're all like, kind of like acting tough to each other. And then it went to Charlie's eating habits because they brought up her talking about pasta last year being like a carb. So that is where I got a little lost, because of 100% like felt for Charlie. That's like a serious thing. Like she talked about her childhood trauma, which was like not easy to talk about. But I'm on also Lala's side, because that argument had nothing to do with that at all. And it kind of came out of nowhere for me.
Yeah, I think I agree that it sort of came out of nowhere, but I also think Charlie sort of felt like pushed into a corner. And like, I also think that she, you know, there were things that Lala was unaware of that maybe would have changed the way that she was speaking to Charlie or handling the situation. And Lala's kind of like, well, how the fuck am I supposed to know all this stuff? Blah, 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 blah. And Charlie's like, well, take the time to get to know me. And I think, you know, it's a little bit, I see both sides, because like, you know, Lala's right that it's like, you don't know what you don't know. So like, it's not Lala's job to, like, you know, see into the crystal ball of, like, what Charlie's been through. But at the same time, I think Charlie is, like, obviously she has gone through some stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think Lala in general could just be more sort of, like, compassionate in the way she goes about her life and, like, the way she speaks to people in general and the way she handles situations. And I think in this instance, it's not Lala's fault that she doesn't know the specifics of Charlie's relationship with food, but mm-hmm. it's like, why are you just defaulting to calling this girl a bitch
yeah.
when you don't actually know anything about her life or her experience or her whatever? And, like, I think Charlie seems like somebody who has a lot of layers and who maybe presents a very, like, you know, I think she posted on Twitter about how, like, you know, sometimes she'll just say, like, dumb, funny stuff because it's, like, easier than kind of opening up. And I think it's exciting to see Charlie kind of, like, peeling back those layers a little bit, because she does seem like somebody who has a lot of substance if you find it.
Definitely. And, like, I think Raquel was the one who said it, even actually maybe in the previews, is that Lala can be intimidating, you know? And I liked that she went in after Charlie got upset and, like, talked, and Lala was like, listen, like, this group has to stop acting like we all, like, know everything about each other. Like, I'm not a mind reader. I didn't know that. I would never say. So that conversation afterwards was actually really nice, where Charlie was like, okay, well, like, ask questions. But at the same time, I think Lala was also calling her out and focusing on what happened at Sheena's birthday and her defending Ariana. And then it went a little deeper, which she was like, of course, like, I would never talk about, like, anything personal with you. But yeah, we'll see them making strides. Hopefully, I love Lala. They, like, one's a hugger, one's not. Lala's like, how is this friendship ever going to work?
another thing I want to mention, though, speaking of what happened at Sheena's birthday, Ariana said on Twitter last night that she and Lala had a whole sit down with each other at this first night in Palm Springs that was just completely edited out.
Right.
And so from what we've seen on the show, it seems like Lala and Ariana are basically not acknowledging each other and, like, kind of, like, just, like, steering clear of handling whatever issues they have. Mm-hmm. And it's so frustrating because now knowing that they had some conversation, it's like, okay, well, like, did they have another fight? Did they smooth things out? Did they kind of agree to disagree? Like, it's so like frustrating knowing that they would just, like, cut something like that when that's actually, like, one of the most interesting dynamics in the cast so far this season. It's like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we hearing, you know, why are we seeing, like, Lala or Ariana and Lisa have lunch,
right,
and then, like, skipping an actual, like, meaningful whatever? Like, it's just so weird. It's like, what are we doing?
I agree, because going forward, when we see them, where are we leaving off next week, where we see them, like, talking, or maybe they, you know what, maybe they're going to do one of their editing flashbacks where, and they show us, like, what happened that night in Palm Springs. So, you know, when they do that sometimes, like, they'll show them talking. But also, I don't want to forget to talk about the fact that Schwartz was actually the one who said the name. I know we talked about the name situation earlier, but he was the one that said it's uninspiring, and it was his words. And he just, like, literally could not like say anything. And, like, everyone is, like, coming out for him. And Katie was like, even Schwartz, he's just being such a pussy. And I was like, I'm sorry, if my significant other kept calling, like, saying that to me about me in front of, like, other people or just, like, on TV in general, I'd be so mad. Because you want to always, I know, I get it, she wanted him to, like, stick up for himself and say something, but at the same time, like, that's when Katie should step in, not when, like, she has stepped in the past.
It is, like, Schwartz does just frustrate me, because it's like, if you and Tom are, like, business partners in this venture. If you hate the name that he wants, just say it. And if you're 50-50, like, it just is, it's like, I understand that he has like certain issues with like, you know, being assertive and all of this stuff, but it's like, at a certain point, it's like, you have to just like,
yeah,
grow a pair, like figure it out. Like, I don't know. Like I know some people love the like, oh, Schwartz is so like dorky and like, he can't do anything and whatever. And it's like, but at a certain point, it's like, if you're like going to be this like business owner and stuff, it's like, you have to speak up for yourself. Like, come on. I don't know. It's like having like Katie do your dirty work. Basically, it just seems like stupid because you're just like making things worse between Katie and Sandoval. And like,
right.
It just seems like a bad situation.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Did you know that women make up 56% of law students?
It's clear that the future of the legal field is female. So why are so many legal podcasts and reviews authored by men? Hi, I'm Leah Littman.
I'm Kate Shaw.
And with Melissa Murray, we are the hosts of Strict Scrutiny.
Each week, we break down the latest headlines and biggest legal questions facing our country to give you expert views you won't hear anywhere else.
Strict Scrutiny is your guide to the Supreme Court.
New episodes drop every Monday. Make sure to subscribe to Strict Scrutiny wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, so Below Deck Med, it was like a really boring episode this week. I'm not even going to like sugarcoat it.
I mean, there wasn't like meat to the episode. Like, obviously, I'm very happy that Courtney got promoted, but can I ask if you feel the same way I do, where I think she does a really good job and I feel like Katie depends on her and like everything, but do you think she like, Katie plays like a little bit of favorites with Courtney? Does that come off to you at all? I think it's her promotion's very much deserved, but I don't know. It's just...
Well, I mean, at this point, she's the only other person there.
I think
at one point when it was like when Lexi was there and then when Delaney was there for a second, like, yeah, I mean, I think she always was like more of like friends with Courtney than with any of the other stews we've had this season. But also, I think Courtney was just kind of like doing a better job than anyone else. So, you know, I did think the promotion was nice. And I do think, even though, you know, there are only two stews at this point, it didn't feel like it was just like a default type of thing. but yeah, we finish up a charter. We have another night out. It's so weird at this night out how Matt like can't stop talking about Lexi. It's like he's like weird. There's something
annoying. I agree, and it is annoying. It's like, first of all, grow up. Like, you're a grown man. Like, stop. Like, everyone is almost like, okay, you got what you wanted. And honestly, Matt, shut the fuck up. You're lucky you're still here. Which I feel like he is not understanding that part of it. But they are, he's trying to almost get everyone to agree with him. But at the same time, Matt, like, you're most likely never going to see this girl again. Like, give it up. And they're all trying to explain to him, which is very sad that they have to explain this to an adult, but that regardless if you like her or not, she still, and it's not an excuse for her behavior, but she could have been going through something. And regardless, she's still a human. Like, she has feelings, like, enough, basically.
Right. And it's like, he's like, okay, well, like, I still fucking hate her. And it's like, okay, like,
okay, hey, like,
we all know, like, nobody is like unclear on Matt's thoughts about Lexi. It's just so strange. Like,
also, what's your point? Like,
yeah, it's just weird. And it's like, as much as Lexi drove me crazy when she was still there, it's like, you gotta let go. You got to move on.
Yes, I think he has a bit of an ego now because his food has been like spectacular this whole season, I should say. Like he even was like, I have a perfect record, like blah, blah, blah. And okay, that doesn't give you a right to be an asshole. So good thing your food's good, whatever. Cool.
Except for that dark fish.
Ugh. Ew. Ew.
As the episode ends, our dear Lloyd is like getting sick, not feeling well, high blood pressure. Like, I don't know. That's stressful.
I actually got like really sad watching this because it just felt very uncomfortable for him. You don't obviously know how he was feeling, but when he was getting ill and then Captain Sandy took his blood pressure and then he was getting sick again, like you can tell he just needed his space and there was nowhere to go. And he was like heavy breathing. And I was like, oh my God, that's one of the worst positions to be in. Like you're on a boat and like, you're in really close quarters. And, I hope like that is just really scary. You don't know. I feel like he's just really stressing himself out with what his next job's going to be, if he's going to have a job. So he's kind of just in his own head, which is normal. But, I guess those are obvious things to stress about, but he really let it get to him and I hope he's okay. Because we love Lloyd. Lloyd's a good egg.
Well, we have one charter left. hopefully there's some drama. I need some drama.
I hope, because like if there's no drama on the last charter, then because this has really been a drama-free season, to be honest. Like we need some more like Johnny Damon-esque guests. Like something like that.
Yeah, like the guests this season have been pretty tamed. Like unremarkable.
But the good news is we have like two more seasons lined up ready to go for us.
I know Below Deck starts like later this month. So,
oh, that was something else I saw today that New Jersey is being pushed back. There's a rumor that New Jersey, the season's being pushed back.
Yeah, it's like a little unclear because like some people were saying it was going to start in like November, December.
Yeah.
But like the most recent season didn't start until February of this year. So like if they're pushing it to like January, like that would still be like a normal turnaround time. So I don't know.
And,
we'll see.
And then they said,
I think
OC's
Orange County
coming.
Is going to come first. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Honestly, good. Get that out. Like I'm nervous. And I just like depend on Jersey regardless. So it's fine. It'll be fine. We're fine. But this was fun.
This was fun. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about the Beverly Hills finale. Oh my God.
And also Dylan and I are hanging out later. So.
Oh my God. Yeah, we are. Send your love.
Send whatever.
And
drinks.
Just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Sean Kilby and Jorge Morales Pico. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Nicole Pellegrino. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Betches.